When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. They asked, "What kind of authority do you have for doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I have a question for you. If you tell me the answer, I'll tell you what kind of authority I have to do these things. Where did John get his authority to baptize? Did he get it from heaven or from humans?" They argued among themselves, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But we can't say from humans because we're afraid of the crowd, since everyone thinks John was a prophet." Then they replied, "We don't know." Jesus also said to them, "Neither will I tell you what kind of authority I have to do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. Now he came to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyards today.' 'No, I don't want to,' he replied. But later he changed his mind and he went. The father said the same thing to the other son, who replied, 'Yes, sir,' but he didn't go. Which one of these two sons did his father's will?" They said, "The first one." But Jesus said to them, "I assure you that tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom ahead of you. For John came to you on the righteous road, and you didn't believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Yet even after you saw this, you didn't change your hearts and lives, and you didn't believe him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I know that the ordinary take on this scripture is authority. What authority did Jesus have? Then there's the whole question of the two sons. And I have to tell you, I have a problem with both sons. One of integrity. Is it better to say that you won't and then do, or is it better to say that you will and then don't? I frankly don't like either one of them. I really like people to do what they say they will do. And if you can't do it, say you can't and let me find somebody else. Now, I know that's a little scary, and especially since we're beginning the nominating process, we need to fill some important holes, so I'm walking on thin ice here. But hear me out. I'm just telling you what I think would be ideal. And really, what would be ideal is that people would just volunteer to do everything, and then we'd have to turn people away. So, okay, that's not very realistic either. But it is ideal. Our Philippian scripture today is the passage where Paul literally is speaking from his own conversion experience. Who better to talk about changing your ways, your integrity, more than Paul? He once tortured and killed Christians, and now he's encouraging them to act like Christ. I feel like once again we're confronted with a question of integrity. Are we living a life that is Christ-like? Fred Craddock, in a sermon on this passage, talked about friends whose church was infected with the disease of success. The disease of success. And it has been studied since as far back as Plato. But it seems that people of real ability and leadership, people who do really well in life, will go through these periods in which they lose all appetite and interest for what they're doing. Craddock says this is the time in the life of the church where they need a good old motivational kick in the pants. And I wonder if that's what Paul was going for here as he wrote to the church in Philippi. That they needed a good old motivational kick in the pants. It's funny, though. I've heard many, many motivational speakers in my life, and none of them went the direction that Paul went. Most motivational speakers push you to get ahead of others. Be the best. Leave everyone else in the dust. Craddock tells the story of himself being a quarterback on his high school football team. Now, this is very funny if you've ever been around Fred Craddock, because he's about this tall. He's not a very big man at all. And he said the whole football team was smaller than him, except for one fullback who weighed about 170 pounds. That was their entire football team. And so one game they were playing, and they were playing the neighboring team who was their biggest rival. And it was halftime, and they were down 21-0. And they all crawled into the locker room and just dreaded what the coach was going to say. And the coach got up, and they all braced themselves, and he pulled out a piece of paper, and he started to read it. And he got all choked up, and he just couldn't bring himself to read it. So he handed it to the assistant coach, and he left the room. And his assistant coach stood up and read a telegram. This is a telegram, and it says, "Win this one for me," signed Joe. Well, no one on the football team knew who Joe was. But because the country was at war at the time, most of them assumed it was a former player of the coach who was on the front line and who just wanted to see his home team win their game against the next town rival. Well, every team member, Fred said, immediately grew 6 inches and gained 50 pounds. And they went out on the field and they won the game 28-1. The whole town was excited. They were celebrating. It made the front page of the newspaper. All was great until a couple of weeks later. And one of the guys was talking to an old teammate, an old player. And they found out the coach did that every year when they played the game. Every year. Yes, it motivated the team for that game. But then the coach's integrity came into play. Paul's letter to the Philippians was a letter of motivation, but also of integrity. It wasn't about getting ahead. It wasn't about being better than the church down the road. It wasn't about doing everything for yourself. It's not even about doing what others want you to do. It was about putting Christ before anything else. That the call that Christ makes to each one of us individually is the most important thing we can hear. And it's about being willing to answer that call. And so we go back to that Matthew scripture. And I realize for Jesus there is probably a little bit of his own personal experience in this story. I think we all really can think about and remember that Jesus' life, he spent wondering what his role was, and seeking that. And there were times that Jesus wanted that cup to pass him by. And so I am sure that Jesus had to ask himself some hard questions and had to listen for his own call. I'm sure he questioned what he could do and how his life could change a world. And so this story speaks to Jesus as it speaks to us. I know I can assure you that there are many times in my life when the first answer I have thought of is no, I cannot do that. I've known people in my life whose first answer is always no. And then when they get some time to think and some clarity, they come back with a yes. So I'm not saying that to answer no and then change your answer to yes is wrong. But I am saying that we need to spend some time, perhaps, before we answer. We need to open ourselves up to hearing God. We need to stop long enough for God to speak to us. And when we answer no, we need to know that it is because we have the sense that God wants us somewhere else. And when we have that sense that God is calling us, we say yes. What better motivation is there than God? I'm afraid that many churches are turning to motivational speakers to draw crowds in. And it's not the kind of motivation that Paul is talking about, but the kind that pushes for winning and being all about money and numbers and being all about getting the pews full. And it saddens me that we've let the world influence us and push us in that direction. Because God calls us. I think that's something that we often forget. If we listen, God calls us to our careers, to which church we should invest our lives in, to what activities we should be drawn to how we can serve in our neighborhoods, to how we can help our friends, to anything that we're willing to take the time to listen. God will lead us. It's that kind of motivation that we need. It's that kind of motivation that this church needs. We don't need someone to come in and step on our toes. I can do that. We don't need someone to make us try and beat the attendance of the church down the road. We need to stop and listen for the direction and the motivation of the one who placed us here. May it be so. Amen and amen.